Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 FM in the Mat-Su Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and you can find all of our episodes over on iTunes, or you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Dog Works Radio. We're continuing up with our Musher series now. We're past Iditarod and moving into spring, so I thought it would be nice to interview a bunch of folks before they get out and do their summer activities, whether that's hunting and fishing or jobs over the summer or whatever those mushers do. Today we're talking to Meredith Mapes. She's calling in from Palmer, Alaska. She last ran a race in 2011, running the Junior Iditarod, and came in ninth place. And she's gearing up to run into some of the big Iditarod qualifiers coming up the next winter. Meredith, how's it going?
It's going good.
Thank you for joining us today. Can you introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you're all about, please?
Yeah, so I'm Meredith. I've been mushing dogs for something like 15 years now. I started when I was really little in Girl Scouts, and then I did four Junior Iditarods, 2008 through 2011. And since then, I've kind of focused on college. But now that I'm almost done with college, almost got my bachelor's, decided it's time for Iditarod. So getting ready for the big one.
That's a lot on your plate for sure. I know you and I follow each other on Facebook, and you're pretty active there in college. You're a dance major, is that right?
Yeah, theater with an emphasis on dance, which is the closest thing UAA has to a dance major.
And how does dance coincide with mushing, if it does at all?
It doesn't really. I mean, it definitely affects my balance. I've always had good balance, so I think dancing from a young age helped to figure out how to drive a dog sled at a young age. And definitely help build strength in things when I'm not mushing dogs.
So if we can step back a little bit, Meredith, and talk about when you first got started. You said that you were in Girl Scouts and got introduced to the sport of mushing. How did that start? Was it a program through Girl Scouts, or did you guys visit a kennel, or what happened?
Yeah, my mom was actually my Girl Scout troop leader, and she was at this meeting where a woman stood up and said if anybody's daughter had girls that really liked dogs, they should go talk to her. And, of course, I've always been dog crazy, so my mom went and talked to her. Her name was Bev Greer, and I started out working with her and training her dogs. And I ran my first race with her dogs, and I won by 1/5 of a second. It was the Willow Winter Carnival one-dog race, yeah. And from there, I was just hooked. So I worked with her for a couple of years. Then I stepped back from mushing for a bit, did other things like dancing. And then one of my mom's coworkers was going to get into mushing, do Iditarod, and then he decided not to. So he gave me my first two sled dogs.
And then that becomes a whole team of them, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, real quick.
Very quickly. So you had mentioned that you ran Iditarod starting out in 2008 and ran through 2011. Can you tell us about what your experiences were like out there on the trails? And for folks that don't know a whole lot about Junior Iditarod, how does that prepare a young junior musher for a lifetime of mushing, whether they're doing Iditarod or Yukon Quest or whatever big races are coming up?
Yeah, it definitely prepares you for being out there alone with your dogs. You're not allowed any outside help, so you're completely dependent for the 24 to 36 hours it takes you to go 150 miles out there. And they make it super easy on the kids by giving them a 10-hour layover so they have time to sleep and eat and really focus on taking good care of their dogs, which is something that you don't often get on Iditarod. You know, most people only stop for 6 hours or so. And you learn a lot of just a lot of good skills. I was never I was always very shy growing up, and after I finished junior high Iditarod, that kind of disappeared. You learn to be independent, and you definitely learn how to race dogs at a competitive level because you're racing. I always trained my own dogs and ran primarily my own dogs, except for my last couple years. I ran some dogs with Melissa Owens, but just training your own team prepares you so much for real life, doing hard work, getting up early in the morning, all that fun stuff.
And of course, just about anybody who's who in mushing grew up in a mushing family has ran the junior Iditarod. When you think about the Seabees and the Reddingtons and the Mackeys, and all of those folks have won the race or definitely have ran it several times and have done very well in their adult mushing careers as well. Is that right?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, Dallas Seavey never won the junior Iditarod, but he finished pretty good, and then, of course, he's won the Iditarod three times now. So
it must be in the genes is all I can think about.
For sure.
So Meredith, after junior Iditarod, you headed off to college. Did you guys get out of dogs completely and say, you know what, it's out of my system, we're moving on and doing other things? Or was that kind of always a burning candle there in the back of your mind saying, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to jump right back in?
I pretty much gave all my dogs away. I had like 5 retired dogs that I kept just because they were old and they were my babies. But no, I basically got rid of dogs. And I ran like 1 Skijor race every winter with someone else's dogs usually, or one of my old dogs, something like that. But I didn't actually start getting back into dogs until I got a job working for the Seavies 4 summers ago. Danny Seavey offered me a job working at their kennel in Seward for just 3 weeks. Just come down, relieve some of our other tour guides. And I said, sure, of course. And after my first week of working down there, I was saying I was doing Iditarod in 2 years and watch out for me. So got back into it.
Can we talk about that just a little bit, Meredith, about that operation that goes on down there? When we're thinking about the Seavies and all that they have done in racing, and I know that Dallas has branched off, and he now lives up in Willow about 250 miles or so away from his dad's place, but that's got to be one heck of an immersive experience down there with that caliber of dogs and that type of atmosphere. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Definitely. It's definitely been a learning curve there. I mean, I thought I knew a lot about dog mushing, and then to get to work with them for the past few summers, I've learned how much I really don't know about dog mushing. And they do things very differently from everybody else I've always worked with. I mean, they've got 100 dogs just in Seward on their summer tours that you have to take care of with the help of a couple handlers, but it's still pretty hard to take care of that many dogs. And we run them very specifically. They're given very specific instructions on how we're allowed to run the dogs in the summer because we are actually training some of what are his future Iditarod champions or even some of his past Iditarod champions. I got to work with Gumbo and Kosher this past summer, 2 of his Iditarod champion lead dogs that are amazing, amazing high-caliber athletes.
So awesome stuff. And when you guys are down there in Seward, it's very close to the glacier, so you guys are receiving a lot of tourist traffic down there. Can you recall one of your favorite questions from a guest down there? What did they ask? And, of course, what did you say?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I don't know if it's exactly a question, but last summer we had 2 YouTube stars come down and take a tour with us as part of a little, like, cross-country trip they were doing. So they filmed us doing a tour with them, and they were just really entertaining people and laughed all the time. It was fun giving them a tour. And, of course, they made all these funny little quips and things, like, you know, dogs pooping on the run. They're like, oh, my gosh, it's pooping on the run. It's pooping on the run. It was so cute.
Yes. So now you are getting back into it, and you have a kennel name called Fun on the Run. What does that mean, and how did you come up with it?
My mom actually came up with that one. I was searching for a kennel name and applying for a kennel license years ago, and My mom was like, well, what about Fun on the Run? You like having fun out there with the dogs? And I said, you know what? That is a great kennel name, because that's all I want to go do is just have fun with the dogs.
I think it's quirky. It's definitely cool. And it's not so regimented as you hear about, you know, like, you know, the big names like Trailbreaker Kennel. That's got some
yeah.
folks to it, if you know what I mean. So now
yeah.
you're getting yourself set up for the upcoming season, the 2015-2016. How many dogs do you have, and what are your plans for them? Are you going to acquire more from other mushers? Are you breeding up some? What are you doing?
All of the above. I currently have 9 dogs. And 6 of them are puppies that are just 5 to 6 months old. So we're going to be working on harness breaking them this summer. And I'm planning on doing 2 or 3 300-mile races next year, and I'm not sure I want to push those young pups that much. So I'm already talking with several mushers about borrowing dogs from them. I bred one of my dogs to one of Sim Smith's dogs that just won the Kobuk 440. So she'll be having puppies in about a month now. And I was talking with Sim's wife the other day, and she said he has a bunch of 2-year-old dogs that he might be willing to lease me for the year. So might have some of his 2-year-olds to run. And been talking with other mushers like Kathleen Frederick, who has a bunch of 1- and 2-year-old dogs that I might borrow from her for a few months to run, just to get them more experience, get me more experience while my puppies are growing up.
So before we talk about the races, Meredith, we're talking to Meredith Mapes today here on Mushing Radio. She is a musher that runs under the banner Fun on the Run Kennel out of Palmer, Alaska. And I want to talk about Palmer in just a second as well. When you talk about puppies, to our listeners out there, Meredith, what does that mean in terms of mushing? When are they ready to go? You mentioned harness breaking. Can you give sort of a timeline for our listeners out there about when a puppy's ready and when it can really become a qualified sled dog?
Yeah. So puppy training starts at day 1 when they're little bitty babies. You start playing with their feet and ears and toes and opening their mouths, because that's things that vets have to look at on all the races. You keep doing that until they're 6-7 months old. You free run them up to that point. Just keep them running around and being puppies. You really want to give them time to just be puppies. And when they're 6 to 9 months old, you start harness breaking, where you put them in a harness for the first time. You run really slow for a really short distance, maybe 2 miles at most. You only travel at 5 or 6 miles an hour, just to let them figure out how to move all of their legs together and keep together as a team. And you work with them doing that for a few months. And their first winter, I don't like to run dogs real hard. When they're just a year to year and a half, maybe 2 years old, I'll keep them running maybe 1 or 2 300-mile races. That's still a lot for a young dog like that, though, because they're not fully grown until they're almost 2 years old. So when they're about 2 to 2.5 is when I like to try and get them in Iditarod for the first time. And I had a dog that I bought from Mitch Seavey this past summer. She's just 2.5, and she ran Iditarod this year. She only made it about 200 miles before she got dropped, though, because she was in heat and she was distracting the boys.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. At the worst time.
I can't think of a worse time than Iditarod as well, where, you know, that you have such a short window of a week and a half or so, then all of a sudden all the girls want to go into heat. So I think it's Mother Nature saying, hey, you know, I think I might want to stay home for a while.
Yep. Yep.
So let's talk about Palmer, Alaska. For folks that don't know, you guys don't get a whole lot of snow down there like we do up in Willow and even further north. You guys get it, but it pretty much melts away or blows away pretty quickly. How do you guys keep a kennel down there, and where do you run down there? Do you have to truck your dogs a long way to find trails, or what do you do?
Yeah, snow definitely blows away from our house. We never have snow around here. So I've never seriously raced out of our kennel here in Palmer. This is just kind of where my parents have lived most of the time, so I hang out here when I haven't been seriously racing. But we have a house out in Kinnick that I'll be moving back to this summer, so I'll have time to train out there. When I did live here in Palmer, I ran one winter out of here, but I only did the Junior Cantwell Classic, which was a 60-mile race. And I did a lot of training up at Hatcher's Pass, up at Archangel Valley. They don't have real long trails up there on this side of the pass. The Willow side of the Hatcher Pass has a lot more trails. But the Palmer side's only 5 or 10 miles, so we'd go up and do that. And when we got into doing longer miles, we'd truck out to Kinnick and run out of my mushing mentor Bev Greer's kennel.
So you had mentioned living in Kinnick, and that is definitely a mushing hotbed. That is where the old Iditarod Trail is pretty much where the race started, right there in that area. And there are tons and tons of trails, miles upon miles of trails there. So I can only imagine that is a much better training ground than Palmer. When you move up there, do you take all of the dogs with you? Do you stay there? Do you leave them there with somebody else? What happens with that?
Yeah, I'll be moving out there myself this year. It's going to be kind of rough because I'll be commuting to Anchorage for my last year of school. But it's definitely nice to have direct access to the trails. I mean, from our house in Kinnick, I could literally run to Nome if I wanted to. All the trails connect
right
up. So it's kind of a perfect area to run dogs.
Let's talk a little bit about school. You know, there are really two classes of Iditarod mushers out there. There are folks that do it full-time, and that is their job. They spend 24 hours a day as mushers. And then there's folks that have jobs and or go to school like yourself. How do you fit that in? How does a senior in college going to be able to juggle all of this mushing as well as demands of being a college senior?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, especially this year, because this fall when serious conditioning starts for the dogs, I'll be taking class 4 days a week in Anchorage. And I've managed to get most of my classes done, so this year I just have to take 4 classes in the fall. So they're all evening classes. I don't have any morning classes, so I have time in the morning to get up and care for the dogs. And when I get home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, it'll be a good temperature to go out and run them this fall to start that conditioning training. And then in the spring, I only have 1 or 2 classes I have to take, so hopefully they'll just be 2 days a week, and I can focus on seriously training and racing in the spring. That's
just
a huge reason
classes
why I haven't been racing in college,
just
because I don't
classes,
have time.
That is a full schedule, 4 classes. So I can imagine that there's going to be a lot of late-night mushing out there in the fall, isn't there?
Definitely. And I'm also looking to have a junior musher to help me train, and I can help train them for races like the Junior Iditarod or the Junior Willow 100. And it helps both of us that way. You know, they'll be learning with me, and I'll have a little bit of the pressure taken off me. Not a lot, but a little bit.
If we could come back to that in just a second, I have a question for that, but I wanted to talk a little bit about those races that you're interested in. You said 300 milers. That is a pretty big goal for a musher on any level to say, you know what, I'm going to do 300 milers in a season. I know Kristen Bacon did it very well this year, just going crazy out there on the trail. She probably got, I don't know, 1,200 miles in before March, and you're planning on doing something similar, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping to get my dogs trained up enough that in December we can go do a big camping trip that'll take 400 to 500 miles to get experience on the young dogs and experience on me with running that much, and then we'll run our 300-mile races in January and February.
Are you thinking about the ones just locally here, like the Copper Basin, the Northern Lights, and possibly the Yukon Quest 300?
Yeah, exactly. I really didn't want to do the Copper Basin when I was younger. I was always thinking about doing the Iditarod, and I didn't want to do the Copper Basin because that's usually a really, really cold race. But I decided I need the experience on races like that because I don't have a lot of experience racing at 40, 50, 60 below. I usually quit when it gets that cold, so I got to learn how to deal with that.
You know, I think a lot of people do, and I think we've talked to a lot of mushers over the last couple of weeks about that 50, 60, 70-degree stint on Iditarod, and it really smacked everybody in the face pretty hard. most people in the world have never seen temperatures like that. Are you prepared for something like that?
Yeah, actually, I attempted the Junior Yukon Quest twice. And the first year I attempted it in 2008, it was 55, 60 below. And I was not prepared for that. I'd left my snow pants in the hotel room. I didn't have good boots. I didn't have a good parka. So I made it 106 miles into the 120-mile race, and I scratched 14 miles from the finish line because I just couldn't get warm. I couldn't handle that extra hour and a half of running.
Wow. And that's got to be tough on a youngster for sure. So if we can shift over to that, you had mentioned mentoring a junior musher potentially this year so that you can work with them and they can work with you, sort of a symbiotic relationship. My question to you is, since you are progressing into the adult side of it, if you will, into the adult races versus junior, what do you think the status of junior mushing is today? And the reason I asked, Meredith, it's because so few junior mushers sign up for Iditarod. Just this year, I think only 9 or 10, and then the same the year before, 9 or 10 as well. What's happening, do you think? Do you think that's sort of the ebb and flow of mushing or something else?
I think it's the ebb and flow of mushing, and I think it's problems with money. I know I certainly haven't had a lot of money recently, so I've been able to afford doing a lot of dog mushing. But I've got a good job working with the CVs, so that's going to help me out a lot. And trying to find a job while mushing dogs and going to school full-time is being difficult for me, too. That was a problem I had when I was junior mushing, was trying to go to a public high school and run dogs and play sports was always really rough. My senior year of high school, I was in IB classes. I ran junior Iditarod, and I was on the cross-country ski team. And I honestly have no idea how I managed to juggle all three.
You know, my daughter is the same way, and she says the same thing, and she said several times on the radio, I will not have a life until I'm done with high school.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Meredith, what do you think we need to do as a mushing community to get more juniors involved? Because even in junior Iditarod, it is, you know, it's the names there. It's the CVs and, you know, Jimmy Lanier is there every year. And now what is her name? The one that won this year that runs with the Reddingtons. Harper. Both the Harper.
Kevin Harper, yeah.
Right. Sorry, it slipped my mind there. How do we get other mushers involved? Because it's such a small group, I think. How in the world can we reach out and grab others, you think?
I think a huge part of it is just advertising and telling people that we're willing to work with other mushers. I've talked with more people over the years, especially running tours in Seward, that said, junior mushing is so cool. I wish I'd had the opportunity to do that when I was younger. I said, well, if you reach out and talk to someone, they're willing to work with you. Just have to talk to someone about it. So, you know, get out, contact a musher.
Yeah, because all the big names out there, or the big kennels, should I say, always have those B and C teams that they would be willing to get those training miles on and racing miles as well, don't you think?
Definitely. I mean, I know Wade Mars had a junior musher this year. Actually, he had two in junior Iditarod. The CVs are willing to train junior mushers, Dallas and his dad, Mitch. So you just have to reach out and talk to them and see what they've got going.
So, Meredith, we have just a few minutes left. I definitely want to get in any social media on how people can contact you and if you have a website and that sort of thing. But anything else you want to mention, any sponsors you want to thank, any way that people can get in touch with you for sponsors, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely check out my kennel's Facebook page. It's facebook.com/funontherunkennel. Or you can just search Fun on the Run Kennel, Meredith Mapes. That's the name of my kennel. I'm working on a website, haven't really spent enough time on it yet, thanks to school, but hopefully I'll have one up and running this summer. And, yeah, just contact me on Facebook for anything, any sponsorships. I've been actively seeking sponsorships and emailing and talking to anybody I possibly can. And I think so far I have one major sponsorship. Zero DC is sending me harnesses and coats and collars for my dogs. So that's a huge weight lifted off my shoulders because harnesses are so expensive nowadays, so much more than when I started mushing. So nice to be able to not have to worry about that right now. But definitely looking for more sponsorships because dog food is so expensive. Again, that's gotten a lot more expensive from when I started mushing. So.
Right. So when does everything start for you? I know you're kind of getting your feelers out there. You're thinking about next year. But when does it really get going for Fun on the Run Kennels for fall training and then moving into, the hopefully the big snow that we have in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I'll be harness breaking puppies all summer, but our series training is going to start this fall, probably August, late August, depending on when the temperatures get cold enough. I don't like to run dogs if it's over 40 degrees outside, so depending on the weather this summer, we might not be doing a lot of running. And yeah, our fall training is going to really kick into high gear in August so that we can do three 300-mile races next year.
Well, I wish you luck. I'll definitely follow you along on Facebook and share any updates that we get on our page here. Meredith, thank you very much for joining us. I know you got to run down to Anchorage to class, so I don't want to keep you much longer. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll keep in touch, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Meredith Mapes calling in today. She runs Fun on the Run Kennel out of Kinnick, Alaska and Palmer, Alaska. Watch out for her. She's going to be on that 300-mile race trail this year. We hope to talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.